Support comes from the Janis Hawkins Cultural Arts Park on the main campus of Troy University. Featuring the International Arts Center, the Fred Nall Hollis Museum, and the Hua Baoju Gallery. More information at troy.edu/artspark.
From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. Yesterday, Professor Michael Slobodzkov, chair of the Troy University Political Science Department, shared the first part of his Russian family story. In case you missed yesterday's program, we'll start with the death of the Russian Tsar. Professor Michael Slobodzkov, thank you so much for joining us on In Focus again.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Carolyn.
We left off talking last time about both great-grandparents surviving the Bolshevik Revolution. What was the feeling about the Tsar's murder?
They were obviously very upset that the Tsar was murdered, and that was done primarily to take the fight out of the whites or those who were protecting the Tsar's regime. They were aware that things needed to change. They were hoping for a constitutional monarchy along the lines of what had happened in Britain, but they didn't want communism, and so they fought against the communist revolution. They were very upset about how things went. And I remember when the Soviet Union collapsed, I asked my great aunt if she was pleased by the fact that the Soviet Union had fallen finally. And she told me in a very sad voice, she said, "No, it's finally the end of the Russian Empire."
You mentioned that your great-grandfather ended up in Manchuria. What happened to them?
So in Manchuria, my great-grandfather on my grandfather's side began to continue working as a lawyer. He was hired by the Chinese to be a judge and to really work on the system of laws in Manchuria. So he did that for many years until the Japanese invaded and they left Manchuria and they went to Shanghai in China. Because at the time when Manchuria was taken over, those who were white Russians who had escaped the communist rule, they were being sent back to the Soviet Union and they were being arrested there and put into concentration camps as political prisoners.
The other great-grandparents, what happened to them on the other side of your family?
So they also ended up in Harbin. And in fact, my grandparents met in Harbin and got married. And they moved to Shanghai later, which is where my father was born. And my grandfather was working in the French concession in Shanghai, because at that time, Shanghai was separated into certain concessions for each of the powers. The French concession had their own police force and their own services. So my grandfather worked as a policeman in the French concession. His father was the lawyer. My grandmother's father was the surgeon.
Okay.
And my grandmother's father worked as the head of the Russian hospital in Manchuria and later in Shanghai.
I'm thinking what resilience your family showed during the Russian Revolution and escaping into a whole new environment. And then came 1949 and another revolution?
That's right. So in fact, even before that, the World War happened and the Japanese invaded. The Japanese actually took over much of Shanghai. And my grandfather was very lucky because he worked in the French concession in Shanghai. And the French at that time were allied with the Japanese. And so he was not taken prisoner. He was not shipped back to the Soviet Union. But that could have very easily happened. And he wasn't placed in an internment camp or anything like that. But after the Japanese defeat, and then you had the Chinese Civil War, in 1949, the communists came to power and won in the Chinese Civil War. And so at that time, my grandparents got very lucky and they were able to leave and go to San Francisco.
Looking at both branches of your family having to contend with communist takeovers, both in Russia and China, what was the family view after all of that?
Well, the family view was very anti-communist. They absolutely hated communism with a passion, and they had every reason to. They had had many of their relatives had been killed by communists and imprisoned by communists. And so they were very resentful of the communists, and that really drove their interests here in the United States of being very anti-communist.
Today, you are an analyst on Russia with the United States for the Voice of Russia Radio. You're also an analyst on Russian relations with Ukraine for BBC World News. What are your observations today?
About the situation with Russia?
Right.
So I think, and I know that you and I have spoken about the sense of euphoria at the end of the Cold War, but the relationship between Russia and the U.S., as President Putin even said recently, is the lowest it's ever been since the Soviet times. That is very frightening, that despite the fact that we have had many chances to get over the past and to overcome it, we still seem to be stuck in a period of confrontation with each other. And that's very sad.
And on the other hand, since part of your family has history with China and communist China as a result, what are your observations about China?
Well, China has definitely grown in power since the time when they took over in 1949 and grown tremendously by leaps and bounds. You know, China has a very dark history as well in terms of the Cultural Revolution, and lots of people have suffered at the hands of the communists there. So indeed, there is a sense of confrontation there too, and China certainly is one of the most powerful countries we are facing moving forward.
Both sides of the family, they all ended up in the United States, is that right?
They all ended up in the United States. Now, there were some that did not make it. One of my grandfather's brothers was working for IBM in Shanghai, and he stayed a little bit too long and was captured by the communists. He was sent back to prison. In fact, he spent a lot of time in prison in Moscow, and then he was being transferred to a concentration camp in Siberia when Stalin died. And they stopped the trains and offered general amnesty. They said, either we can continue with the trains and you'll go to the concentration camp, or we stop it right where we are and we give you general amnesty. And so he chose general amnesty and walked off the train in the middle of nowhere and had to make his way back. But he did, and he became a professor of French at Moscow State University in Moscow.
What do you think the United States is about with people like yourself with that kind of family history?
Well, I think the United States is a melting pot of so many different cultures and traditions. And the United States has met, as the Statue of Liberty inscription there at Ellis Island has talked about, give me your tired, your poor, your humbled masses yearning to breathe free. And that certainly has been what the United States has been for so many different groups of people. It's a welcome change from many places in the world that way.
I want to thank you for sharing the story of survival of two branches of your family. What a tribute to the human spirit.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Joining us by Skype was Professor Michael Slobodchkov, chair of the Division of Political Science at Troy University and a commentator for the BBC World News. Dr. Slobodchkov first shared his family story with Troy Public Radio in 2021. His latest book with co-editors Professor Doug Davis and Brandon Stewart is The Challenge to NATO, Global Security and the Atlantic Alliance. Thanks for joining us today for In Focus, which is now a podcast on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.